From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns saying hello to you and welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. We do count it a privilege to come to you day by day with the Word of God open before us. I trust the Lord has been blessing to your heart this final week of broadcasting in 2006. I have deliberately taken as our theme for this week the words of David in Psalm 27 and verse 4, from which we're speaking of the supreme passion of one who loves the Lord, the supreme passion of a Christian. I want us to end this year in the joy of the Lord, living in the fellowship and the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust that the Lord will bless His word to your heart as we return one more time today to Psalm 27 and verse 4. However, before we do so, our daily devotional Bible study for today is taken from Leviticus chapter 1, verse 3, on the subject of the burnt offering. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, the Lord goes on to give various instructions concerning it. The first chapters of Leviticus are taken up with details of the five great offerings: the burnt offering, the meat or meal offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering. Now, all these offerings speak of Christ and His work in redemption. The burnt offering occupies a prominent position and is a very clear picture of Christ's work on Calvary. Let's learn its unmistakable lessons. The first lesson that comes to mind is that man is separated from God by reason of his sin. When man fell into sin, the communion between God and man was broken. The second lesson is that God speaks to man through a mediator. Moses was a type of Christ the mediator. He stood between God and Israel, but a greater than Moses is evident to faith here, even the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The third lesson is that God demands a blood sacrifice. That may seem unpleasant to proud man, but God has the right to state the terms of reconciliation. Such extreme measures speak of the extremity and the heinousness of man's sin. The fourth lesson is that the burnt offering pictures Calvary. The sacrificial animal or bird in the burnt offering was a male. The first Adam brought death. The last Adam, the second man, as the Bible calls him, the Lord Jesus Christ, was without blemish and without spot. And he is the one who saves from death. The Lord Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of those types of the burnt offering. Now, it's interesting that in the burnt offering, the offerer was to put his hand upon the head of the victim, thus identifying his sin with his sacrifice. The sinner's touch always brings death. The animal was killed for him who laid his hand upon him, teaching us the truth of substitutionary sacrifice. The burnt offering was a voluntary offering, picturing the voluntary nature of Christ's death for us on the cross. And it was to make atonement, that is, first to satisfy God, for it went all up to God, and thereby to reconcile lost sinners to Him. So today let's rejoice in Christ our Saviour. We're not worthy of the very least of God's mercies, but giving us Christ to be our burnt offering, He has blessed us with the greatest of all blessings. And our thought for the day comes from the Baptist theologian Augustus Strong. God requires satisfaction because he is holiness, but he makes satisfaction because he is love.
All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Alleluia, alleluia. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Thou rushing wind that art so strong, the clouds that sail in heaven,
This week, as we reach the last few days of the year 2006, you have your last opportunity to call us or write us to obtain your free copy of our Let the Bible Speak calendar for 2007. The Way of Life calendar is freely available to you. It will bring you a good scripture for each day, and it will remind you to pray for us here at Let the Bible Speak. So we invite you to write to us. We look forward to hearing from you. If you have written during the past weeks, months, or even in this last year, we'd like to thank you for your prayerful interest in the ministry of Let the Bible Speak. I trust that you will continue to take us to heart and pray for us that the Lord will greatly use this ministry in the saving of souls and in the building up and blessing of the people of God. So remember then our 2007 Words of Life calendar from Let the Bible Speak, and you may have yours by writing to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, or you may email us at freepres@freepres.org, or you may call us toll free at 866-877-LTBS, 866-877-5827. As I say, we look forward to hearing from you.
Wonderful love to me on the cross he suffered.
This week we have been considering Psalm 27 and verse 4, the supreme passion of one who loves the Lord. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his holy temple. Yesterday I started pointing out that the great desire that fills a Christian's heart centers on three all-important requests. Number one, to dwell in the house of the Lord. The New Testament equivalent of David's expression would be abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. The desire to abide in Christ. That is to live in constant fellowship with the Lord and in the constant enjoyment of all the fullness of the Lord. Yesterday I took a little while, I would need a long time to do justice to this, to show that David's language must be understood against the context of the Old Testament. The house of God as he knew it was the tabernacle. And I yesterday described the various furnishings of the tabernacle. David wanted to live in the sight and enjoyment of these various parts of the house of God, the altar of sacrifice, speaking to us of the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, keep me near the cross. He wanted to live inside of the laver of holiness, of washing, of sanctification, the place where the priests washed themselves to make themselves fit to go on into the holy place to serve the Lord. Titus chapter 3 speaks of that laver as being a place of washing. This speaks of the ongoing experience of holiness. How do you live in fellowship with the Lord? By holiness. By the washing of water, by the word, as Paul calls it in Ephesians chapter 5. I know that the blood cleanses from the sins that we have committed. But I tell you, every Christian should bathe his soul every day in the Word of God. The Word of God is a cleansing agent. It's a vital force in the hand of the Lord to cleanse and wash and purify and sanctify the life of the Christian. We have weak Christians because we have Christians who are generally forsaking the Bible. How often do you get a Christian meditating on the Bible? How often do you get a Christian who really gives time to read the Bible thoughtfully, carefully, and prayerfully? How often do you get a Christian who actually memorizes the Bible? Most Christians nowadays go to church. They want to be spoon-fed some baby little sermon for 10, 15, or 20 minutes on a Sunday morning. And then, having had that spoon-fed meal, they hope to go in the strength of it all week. But as for cracking the Bible open for themselves, getting alone with God, entering into their closet, getting on their knees and praying over the Bible, O Lord, give me light upon the sacred page. As for taking genuine time over the Bible, very, very few people actually do it. And they have all the excuses in the world. But my friend, you can't live in the enjoyment of the fellowship and fullness of Christ if you're not living in his word. To abide in Christ is to have his words abide in us. That's what Jesus said, and there is no substitute. That's why on this broadcast, again and again, I make the offer to you of our little leaflet. It is so small, and yet it's so significant and so important. The 10 rules of Bible study, the 10 commandments of Bible study. How to take your Bible and chapter by chapter study it and get spiritual benefit from it so that it will direct your life and direct your prayer life and your praying will be on the basis of the Bible. Men and women, it's vital. I would urge you to get that leaflet, by the way. It's free. And you should have it, and I trust you'll get it. Because, listen, you can't abide in Christ unless you're abiding in his word, and his word is abiding in you. David wanted to live in sight of the holy place, wherein was the table of showbread, feasting on Christ. Feasting on Christ. Men and women, we, unlike David, can go into that holy place. He was not a priest in the Old Testament sense. We are priests in the New Testament sense. And we feast on Christ. Christ is the bread of life. Man, feast on Jesus. Think of his deity. Think of his humanity. Think of his impeccable sinlessness. Think of his atoning death, his bodily resurrection. Think of his intercession. Think of his love, his promises, all the gifts and graces of God in him, and feast on Christ. He is everything to his people. David wanted to think of the candlestick, that lampstand that speaks of the resurrection of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit for all who are united to Christ. Oh, what themes they are, our union with Christ. Consider that. Feast upon that thought. And let the power of that union and the light and power of the Holy Spirit to all who are in union with Christ fill and thrill your heart. And then, of course, he wanted to view the altar of incense. Christ is our intercessor, whose merit is sweet incense unto God. Oh, let us think of that. Let us abide with that thought. He wanted to view the veil that was rent later as Jesus died. Think of the mercy seat, sprinkled with the blood of the Lamb. As I said, on each end of the mercy seat there was a cherub. The cherubim in Scripture are associated, right from Genesis chapter 3, with the judgment of God. And here are these instruments of judgment, the very creatures who sealed Adam's exclusion from paradise. And they are now looking benignly down upon the mercy seat, sprinkled with the blood of the Lamb, witnesses to our acceptance with God through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Oh, let us dwell much on those truths. Let us pray, Lord, fill my desire. Let me dwell every day in the house of the Lord. Let me abide in Christ. And let me, secondly, behold the beauty of the Lord. Let me look upon Jesus. The world finds no beauty in him. The world mocks him and curses him. They blaspheme his name. But oh, let me behold the beauty of the Lord Jesus. He is the fairest among 10,000 to my soul. He is altogether lovely, as the Song of Solomon tells us. Oh, let me behold his beauty. Or, as it may be translated, let me delight in his beauty. The glory of God, we are told in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6, shines in the face of Jesus Christ. You remember Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. That's our prayer. What do we mean by it? Lord, give us a clear sight of Christ. Here is a desire for the revelation of our God in the fullness of his grace. Here is our prayer for the light of his countenance to be lifted up upon us with favor. Lord, let me behold the beauty, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You remember Paul said, we run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, getting our eyes on Christ. As he puts it elsewhere in Hebrews, for example, chapter 3, and again in chapter 12, verse 3, considering Christ, getting our minds full of Christ. Men and women, let me tell you, as you behold the Lord Jesus, you will see incomparable beauties. And the longer you look at him, the more deeply you ponder him, the more you meditate upon him, the more you read about him, the more you think upon the Lord Jesus, then listen, the more beauty you'll see in him, the more your soul will be caught up in raptures because of him. So many Christians, they have time for pleasure, time for sport, time for TV, time for everything, but they have so little time to gaze upon the face and the form, by faith, of the lovely Son of God. Oh, let us pray indeed. Lord, I have this great desire. I want to abide in Christ and behold the beauty of the Lord. And then the third thing, I want to inquire in his temple. I desire to be much in the secret place of prayer. Now, I've already spoken about the place of prayer this week, so I'm not going to repeat myself. But this is the desire of a heart that truly yearns for God's best. I want to pray. I must pray. I can't go on in the way that I've been going. I can't go on with merely paying lip service to prayer, depending on other people's prayers. I must get through to God in prayer. Let me spend much time in the secret place. Let me do what Jesus said and close my closet door and get alone with God. Close the world out and close myself in with God. There you'll find growth in knowledge. There you'll find guidance for life. And there you'll find grace for service. Men and women, here is the Christian's great desire, the passion of a true believing heart, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. But you know, we can lift this up even higher. Beyond this brief scene of time into the limitless eternity of heaven, what is our desire? It is surely to dwell forever with Christ in the Father's house. It is forever to see the King in all his beauty. It is forever to explore and enjoy all the fullness of eternal grace and glory in and with Christ Jesus. This is the one thing of which David spoke and of which later our Lord Jesus Christ spoke. Has your heart ever been set upon this? Or are you still chasing the little things of sin, the baubles of the world? May God lead every one of my hearers, and this my final broadcast with you in 2006. We'll be in a new year the next time I get to talk to you, God willing. May God indeed lead every one of my hearers away from the baubles of sin to Jesus Christ, to desire Christ. For I tell you, if you desire him, you may have him. May he then fill your heart with this mighty passion. And when he does, thank God, he will fulfill it. Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening,
I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.